Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the Industrial Marketer Podcast, your place for the tips, tech, trends, and tactics for industrials who care about driving leads to their companies. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Joey Strawn, and I couldn't be happier to be here with you today. And as always, I am joined by one of my most favorite people, Nels Banana Fana Fofels Jensen. How are you today, Nels?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here with you again, and glad to be speaking with the industrial marketers out there who are grinding away, trying to help the creators move products and processes.
Well, we are here moving into the more summer months. Things are getting hotter out there. Everyone's getting out into the market. The world actually is, fingers crossed, knock on wood, starting to open back up and getting more social, which means there's more people out there that are competing for our business, Nels. So we have decided to dedicate this entire episode to the art, the practice, and the science of a competitor analysis. I have a very special guest coming up later in the On the Shop Floor segment. This is a guy who lives this day to day, so he's going to be able to tell us a lot about it, Nels. But we had talked beforehand about some of the things that are necessary when we're talking about the prism that is competitor analysis.
Right, like
Where did you land on this? What were the things that were really important for you that we dive into?
Yeah, so there's the tools, obviously. There's, you know, the techniques, but there's also just sort of a basic context of what are the fresh eyes that you can bring to the equation, the surprises that are in there, and then how well is somebody achieving their goals with their current tactics. So there's sort of the known and the unknown.
Okay. So you really, when you were thinking about this, you're really thinking about this on like the kind of the trade side, the trade of the
content
marketing.
Right.
See, that's really fun, because when you told me that you wanted to talk about competitive analysis, my mind immediately went to all the weird, nerdy tech tools and stuff that I use. So this
could so you can answer all my questions, right?
Okay, great, good. Yeah. I want to make sure that we have those. Honestly, I even brought some questions to the table, because there are questions going into competitive analyses that are that people and practitioners have to be able to ask themselves and about their companies.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Right.
I'm thrilled that we have this kind of dichotomy here. So, Nels, I want to talk a little bit about the techie tools and trends and things like that that I use when I approach a competitive analysis. And then I want to turn it over to you for the more trade side, the contextual side of it, and really focus on like, okay, after you have this information, what are you really looking for and why? There are 1,000 tools out there. You can Google, you know, competitive research tools, and there'll be blog posts galore and directories galore. There's a lot that are paid. And we use a handful, you know, that have paid subscriptions, but it's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of free stuff out there that people can use. One of the easiest tools that people don't think of when doing competitive analysis is just Google and Bing. Going on and typing not only your competitive names, but your brand name, questions regarding your industry or questions regarding your competitor. But one of the really, really interesting things to do, and I don't know if listeners have done this about their own companies, but I would very much recommend that you do, but type in your company name and then see what the predictive search pulls for the following of that. It's like, because those are the things that people are searching about your company name online. That's a neat thing to find out, but also take the next step, put your competitors in there and type their brand name. So if it's XYZ Fan Company, or if it's so-and-so, you know, Fluid Management, type that in and see what comes up in the Google predictive search or the Bing predictive search, because you may find out some pretty interesting context that you didn't think about before.
Well, of course, the most annoying thing, and I spent many years in the news business and the business journalism business, is, you know, you search your company name, and of course, Google shows up with those couple of paid spots above the organic spots.
Right.
And guess who shows up? Your competitor.
Somebody else.
They're buying your brand keywords, you know. So
And that's a great segue into the other tool, because my other tool is a basically keyword or SEO planner tool. The one that I prefer is SEMrush. No sponsorships or anything. I like them a lot. View SpyFu, and they're also very powerful. But a tool like that, and most of them have free information that you can go to. Just type in SpyFu.com or SEMrush.com and type in a competitor website, and you'll get an amount of free data from them. But the advanced tools are the tools that you subscribe to, Nels. To your point, not only can I see what is coming up for when I type my brand name in, I can see the exact terms and the exact ads that my competitors are using. So from an organic standpoint, I can see who is competing in the keywords that I and my brand name need to compete for. I can see what other companies rank for my name that I may need to be aware of.
Sure.
And so I can also dive deeper and find the banner ads and the placements that they're using. And if they have competitive keywords that they are spending money on that happen to be, to your point, my brand name, that might be a really, really good information.
Right. And it's not just your brand name. It might be, hey, they're going after a new segment that they haven't been going after before. They're going to encroaching mm-hmm. on you in this area. Or maybe they're not as focused on something and they're focusing on something else, which may be, you know, an opportunity for you. So it's, you know, it's not just about the brand names. It's also about, you know, the sectors and the products. And, you know, obviously you align that with your own company goals. And that's where the magic happens. Hey, we got a great opportunity to do this, or we're really going to have to fight for that. Right.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, and if you want to take it even a deeper step, nerdier, before we get into some of the context here, Nels, like there are tools called like Built With or Brand 24 or SimilarWeb that will go so far as to tell you the percentage of traffic that your competitors are getting, like how much is coming from referral traffic versus paid traffic versus organic. It will Built With will monitor market segments and tell you fluctuations in ranking based on like market information and market data, and honestly go as far to tell you as the technology that your competitors' websites are built with. Do they use Google Analytics or Aperture? Do they have, you know, the Yoast plugin and a blog plugin, or do they connect it some other way? You can go to that level, and all this is free information that exists out there, guys. It's just a matter of looking and finding it. And we have articles, you know, go to industrialmarketer.com because we've got articles on competitor tools and things of that nature. But SEMrush, SpyFu, Google Keyword Planner, SimilarWeb, Built With, Brand 24, they're out there, guys. Go find them, use them, learn what you can about your competitors and what they're doing online.
And there's tons of templates, you know, how to get started. If you're not sure how to get started, just do basic searches. And there's lots of free resources out there to get started with.
Right? Yeah, and the last thing I want to leave everybody with is, and before we segment over, Nels, into your context stuff, is you don't just use these tools in a vacuum. You should be trying to answer questions about what your competitors are doing or about the market in general. So I brought a few questions now so that I think everyone doing competitive analysis needs to be asking themselves along the way. And I'm going to unveil these one by one, and I'll probably have our special guest reference these later, maybe ask them about them. But so question one, where do my competitors show up? You need to know, like, if you type a competitor name, are they on the first page of Google, the eighth page of Google? Do they have ads? Are they on social media? Where are they? Two, where and how do my competitors get visibility and traffic? Are they paying for it with ads? Are they in every trade directory under the sun and everything is organic or referral? Is all of their marketing done through social media? You should be finding this out. Three, where are they that I am not? So find out if all of your competitors are bidding on a set of keywords that you're not, there's probably a reason that you need to be going after those terms or looking into it, unless they're completely irrelevant to you and your business. Or more. I mean, there's so much you can find out by, oh, they're in this trade magazine, they're in this directory. I should be getting some of that traffic value. And then four, the final one, where am I that they're not?
Yeah.
So are there some opportunities that you have as a brand to double down on or take more advantage of or be protective of? Identify those in the process as well. So those are some of my questions that everyone looking at themselves and others need to be asking.
Yeah. And you know, my list was just a slightly different lens. It was, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What are your competitors' strengths and weaknesses? How are your tactics working? Are you achieving your goals? And how are theirs working? So those essentially, we're covering the exact same ground. You know, your questions are excellent. Yeah. I like those a lot.
Right. Well, and Nels, I know specifically when you're diving into some competitor analyses, you're going to their websites, the competitor websites, and looking at their emails and looking at their pages and seeing, are they answering these questions?
You're subscribing to their emails for their newsletters. You're searching, hey, where do they appear on trade media? You know, if they're in this key trade pub, do we need to be in there? You know, they're running a sponsored, you know, content program in there. You know, there's, you just learn a lot. What, you know, it's just opens up. The more you know, the more nuance you know about tactics, you know, the more sophisticated you can get with the adjustments you make.
I agree. And, you know, we started this conversation by saying, like, there's this trade element and there's this tech element. And, you know, going forward, we'll talk to our guest about this, but the merger of those is understanding what you're doing and why, and understanding what your competitors are doing and why, and being able to basically weave that together into some sort of story and to provide context for your marketing choices. That's where the gold comes from. It's not just a matter of, oh, XYZ is bidding on this term, so that means I need to bid on this term. Maybe you do and maybe you don't. You know, so answering these questions and diving deeper and kind of putting that picture and that story together is going to be really important.
Couldn't have said it better. Excellent.
Well, I brought a special guest, Nels, this time that I think is going to help us weave some of that together and talk to us about how to tell that story a little bit. So do you want to head on down to the shop floor and meet?
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Yep.
We're heading on down to the shop floor. Listeners, let's do this together. All right, Nels, we've walked all the way down here. We just had a great discussion about competitive analysis and why you need to spy on the people that you're spying on. I've walked us down here because it's time to get on the shop floor and talk some tactical advice from people who do this every day. And I have brought a very special guest today, and his name is Dan the Media Man. Dan, welcome to the Industrial Marketing Podcast.
Yay. Howdy.
He's not a cowboy, everyone, but he rules the Wild West that is competitive analysis with an iron lasso. I don't know what any of that means, but Dan, give the listeners at home a little bit of a recap of your history in media and how often you spy on the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. So really the competitive analysis and sort of competitive tactical bug that was born in me was when I was working up in DC. So I was doing mostly media strategy and planning and buying for public affairs firms that were doing down ballot issues, even specific politicians. So what was interesting about that is we would develop a strategy and a tactic, but as soon as either the opposition or yourselves would go on television or radio, even digital, all of that became public files. So from there, we would be able to actually start looking at what the competition, what the opposing view, opposing political figure was doing tactically via the FCC's website. And it was really a great tool to start saying to yourself, okay, they're trying to reach folks on Channel 2 and they're reaching people on the top 40 FM station. What does that mean? Do we want to double down on that? Do we want to find our niches? Do we want to find the overlap? And you know, it started for me from a political standpoint, but obviously that carried over immediately into any sort of B2B or B2C campaign, because money, time, and resources are all finite. So you need to know where to allocate them.
Well, and it's interesting, and now I'll transition over to you for a question here. But, you know, Dan, one of the things we talk about a lot on the show is, because we're focused on the industrial sector, I mean, it's even more niche than just specific B2B. So we're, you know, these are people, these are marketing executives, these are professionals who are dealing with the not Nike budgets, you know, to spend on multi-billion dollar ad campaigns or things of that nature. So using your resources in a strategic way is of the utmost importance, especially when you rely on the supply chain or the market or, you know, certain sorts of acquisitions and moves in, you know, global affairs. I mean, you know, Nels, competitive research is something that we talked a lot about just before we walked down here, but you focused a lot on the context of it. You know, take it from here.
Yeah, so just to kind of reframe it into a question, in the first segment, we talked about how if you know you're really scoring your leads, if you really know a lot of nuance about your marketing, then you could be ready for a competitive analysis. And I guess I want to turn that to you, Dan, and say, you know, maybe we're making it sound more complicated than it is. Is this advanced work, or is this basics that every manufacturing and industrial company should be considering?
It's a little bit of both. From a basics standpoint, it's as easy as just having somebody you work with start looking up search volumes and seeing, okay, hey, there's not many residential petroleum searches in Idaho right now. That's a low volume. It's a low cost. But then through some of the tools that we have, like SEMrush, you can then go in and see, okay, well, who's bidding on these kinds of keywords? Who's bidding on residential petroleum in Idaho? And you can make a case to your client or internally saying, hey, for $1,000 estimated, we can really turn the tide here and we can start appearing on the top of these search results rather than our competition.
Right.
Or we could say to ourselves, for $1,000, nobody's bidding on this. Why don't we go in and why don't we become the top result that people are seeing in this very niche search? And that's what it is, like Joey alluded to. It's very niche. So there's that combo. That's a pretty basic way to just kind of dip your toe into competitive.
Sorry, Nels, go on.
Okay, I'll go one more and then I'll turn it over to you, Joey. You know, one of the difficulties for industrialists, for a lot of manufacturing companies, they aren't really advanced in sort of the manufacturing technology. So a competitive analysis can be very wide. It can be very narrow and deep. I mean, how do you get started? What's your advice for companies that are looking to get started in the competitive analysis realm?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So what you're going to want to do is focus on what you're good at, right? So what kind of thing do you as a company offer? Mm-hmm. What are you manufacturing? What are you creating? What are you helping the market with? And see what your competition is doing to combat you with that. So before you get too complicated and too inch wide, mile deep, or mile wide, inch deep, it actually in this scenario, you'd be a mile wide and an inch deep. Before you get too complicated about trying to figure out every little nook and cranny of what your competition is doing, it's just a good way to focus on, well, what is the competition taking away from what we do good right now? So that would be my first piece of advice, is just focus on how they're taking from you. And then you transition that and start focusing on, okay, well, how can I make little bites? How can I figure out what they're not touching? How could I figure out how to do better at things that they are touching? And then it becomes a larger undertaking, but just focusing on what you're good at and how the competition reacts to, and how the competition is trying to win that from you, is a really good start.
I love that. I want to take it a step deeper. And I want to scratch at the surface a little bit, Dan, because one of the things that's always fun, and I've seen it, you know, throughout my career, and you and I have talked about this, you know, because you and I are colleagues in that. But one of the things, what would you tell a company that's going in saying, I know exactly who my competitors are? Like, what, you know, is there a possibility that you're going to uncover new competitors or unknown entities in the market doing some of the things that we may talk about? Like I mentioned earlier in the episode, like using BuiltWith or SEMrush or, you know, like Google Keyword Planner or something like that. And, you know, doing some competitive research just with Google. But, you know, how likely is it that you may uncover a competitor that you hadn't thought of before?
Yeah, it's very likely. And it's one of the really advantageous things to even doing this. Because, you know, with the vendors you just mentioned, you can add in SimilarWeb or Brand24. By adding, by seeing, really by learning a new organization that might be very tangential to what you do, but has that small little overlap, you can gain a lot of learnings that work better for your business based on what they're doing from a competitive marketing standpoint. So more often than not, we as a company, so when we do this type of exercise for our clients, we more often than not end up telling them about a marketplace that are doing somewhat similar things to them that you can really gain a lot of learnings from because they're doing them in a small way.
Well, and one of the things, and I think I've told the story on the show before, but there have been a handful of times when in conversations with people will come up and be like, okay, well, you know, we were doing some research and Dan, I'm usually coming at this from an organic perspective, but you know, we're having these conversations and I'll say, well, I found company XYZ, you know, as a competitor for you guys. And they'll be like, oh, no. Company XYZ is they're not a competitor of ours. I'm like, well, they outrank you for like 10 of the things that you told me that were very important for you. So whether or not you think they're a competitor, they are competing with you in these spaces. And, you know, without the analysis to be able to say, well, look, we found them organically. And Dan, to the level of detail that you can find, which is sometimes astounding, of not only are they doing banner ads, I can tell you which banner version creative is running on which websites and which like audiences they seem to have been targeting. You know, it's a level of specificity that's a little daunting to, in some degree, of like all that's out there about what the competitors are doing, but the wealth of value that can come from it, sometimes just astounding. I love being able to put those stories together because like here's the known and here's the unknown. And then we can actually use that for the common good, if you will.
And that's exactly it, is what we're doing is we're telling a story of how their competition interacts and presents itself to the marketplace. And those types of stories are what can really help shape how nimble you are to that. Yeah. So it's quite interesting in that regard.
Awesome. Well, I mean, before we wrap up, Nels, do you want to follow up with any questions, anything from a content or a context perspective when we were talking earlier about kind of achieving goals and making sure that we're kind of focused in on what we're trying to achieve with the competitive research and analysis, you know, what do you want to add? What do you want to get from Dan while we have him here?
Yeah, well, he touched on one of them, which is start with your strengths, and that, you know, he also just touched on another one, which was like, what might your blind spots be, right? But ultimately, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover about, you know, where you're vulnerable and where you're strong. So, you know, I guess I don't really have a question so much as a follow-up.
I've got one from that.
Okay, go for it.
So what, Dan, what sorts of information and context could you tell from a good competitive analysis on where your own brand is strong and where your own brand is weak in the market?
Yes. So that's a really, there's a lot of places to go with that. And when a competitive analysis, and again, we can do, really anybody can do just sort of that small version of it, or you can do that really in-depth, deeper dive into it. And either of those, what you end up learning can help you shape the future of your marketing as an organization, because now you have a leg up, because you can, with the story that we're able to tell, you can see where other people are going. And importantly, you know internally where you're going to begin with. So now instead of just one static path forward, there's a little bit more of an opportunity to be dynamic. And you can start kind of taking a step to the side, going diagonal. Doesn't have to be a straight shot, and kind of capturing and overtaking opportunities.
Exactly, right. Tweaking your tactics a little bit. Maybe it's adding that AB variant to see how, you know, not just to address a potential weakness, but one thing, you know, we've been talking a lot more at our agency is, hey, can we make our strengths even stronger? Right. Yes, this works. Can we make it work even better? Dialing it up, dialing it down. It's the more you know about, you know, how your tactics work out, the easier it is to tweak your tactics.
And a funny thing about that too is, and something that usually astonishes some of the organizations that we work with, is we'll do a competitive audit for them, and it's almost flattering to them when they learn that their competition is bidding on the keyword of their organization's name. So
yeah,
they all of a sudden say to themselves, wait a second, people might, you know, one of our vendors, one of our clients might, they don't know our website. The only way they find us is if they search, you know, Joe's manufacturing facility. But it turns competition, Steve's manufacturing facility is already bidding on Steve. Joe's manufacturing. Exactly. No, so it's really funny when Joe learns that, because Joe says to himself, well, you know what? Then I'm going to bid on Steve. But it's not just about bidding on Steve, then. It's also about being able to take advantage of your own organic opportunities, so that Steve now is spending money to try and win a Joe search, but you've already beat him organically. So there's, you know, it's sort of like, there's just so many flanks and opportunities and ways to take advantage.
It's really funny, Dan, that you mentioned that, because our very next episode is about how organic and media need to be thought of more holistically nowadays, and the benefits in doing that, you know, because in the past it was like, oh, whatever you bid on is not going to help your organics, blah, 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 blah. And we, and you know, and I think we have a pretty fresh case to say that, you know, we need to take a new look at that. So that you have led directly into a fantastic segue. So everybody, make sure you listen to the next episode of the Industrial Marketer podcast. But before we wrap up here, Dan, I want to get your opinion on this. In the first segment, one of the things Nelson and I talked about were questions that everybody needs to ask when they're doing a competitive analysis. So I want to share the ones that we had with you, and see if you could sort of give your highest priority. Like if you were going to tell one question that people needed to ask themselves, which of these would you start with? So here were the questions that we had come up with. Where do my competitors show up? It's a good one. How do my competitors get their visibility? Where are they that I am not? And where am I that they are not? So those are our four big questions. Where would you start on that list if someone's like, I've only got time to really dive into one of these, but I need to get something started? Where would you atomize that down to?
I would start. So they're all good questions. I think the latter, the two on the latter end, I think have the most value, because they help you with that story. So where am I? Where they are not is probably where I would prioritize, only because that requires sort of a real internal diagnostic too of what it is they're trying to market,
that makes a
portray themselves to the marketplace. So you need to have that sort of real honest look and honest conversation. I'm not trying to say agnostic of competition. But by having that, then you start layering in the competition. And that's when you start to see, okay, well, you know, you might think you have a B plus in that, but really when we look at the competition here, they're, you know, your grade might be a little lower right now with opportunity to be back in an A if you just hit these other little segments that are pretty low cost and low volume, but they're wide open.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Well, Dan, thank you so much. That was, I can't think of a better way to end that. And I wouldn't try and be more eloquent than you in that if I tried. So, Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. We're definitely going to have you back. I want to talk to you more about, you know, the media worlds that you live in and some of the research things that you've been able to come up with. That's is going to be a lot of fun. Any parting words for Dan, the media man, Nels, before we kick him out of here?
No, I just love that last answer. It was great. It's, you know, these are all important, but you have to understand the internal diagnostic before you can layer in your competition. Great words to go by.
Awesome. Well, as always, thank you, Dan, the media man. Nels, as always, my partner in crime here, thank you for joining me today. And all of you listeners, thank you once again for joining us here on the Industrial Marketer Podcast, where we are here to just make sure that we are all moving in this progression together, kaizening our way to better marketing and better results for the efforts that we put in to this crazy game that we play. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. There are a lot of great episodes upcoming. There are a lot of great episodes in the archive. If you've missed those, you can also go to industrialmarketer.com to find old episodes and a boucoodle of additional resources out there. We've got articles. We've got data. Nels has even written some stuff on there. You guys wouldn't even believe it. You'll be looking, you'll say, what? I can't believe it. And I would have told you. I said, see, I told you so. So go listen, follow us on social, follow us on podcasts, email this around to your friends. They'll love you for it, I promise. So get out there, and until next time, guys, we are the Industrial Marketing Podcast, and we will talk to you next time.